Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, after the women recovered themselves in the light of the angel's announcement, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she went to report it to the 12. But when they heard it, they did not believe, right? So Mary announced to them the resurrection of Christ and that she had seen him with her own eyes, and they did not believe. And then the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they came back to Jerusalem and they said that the Lord had appeared unto them and was made known in the breaking of bread. But we're told in St. Mark's Gospel that they didn't believe them either. And so we have the 11 are so wrought up in their sorrow and in their disappointment at the way everything took place, that every time the Lord God comes to them from the mouth of an eyewitness to speak of the joy of the resurrection, they push it aside, they dismiss it, they do not believe the message of the divinely sent heralds. Finally, Jesus himself appears to them as they sat at meat, that is, as they were sitting at the dinner table. And what did he do? It says in our text, he upbraided them. That means he reproached them. He criticized them. Why? Because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. All that is necessary is the word of the gospel. The word of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Therefore, anyone who has heard the gospel and dismisses it and pushes it aside in preference for something else or some other priority or some other concern, everyone who hears the gospel and lets it go in one ear and out the other, they are practicing unbelief and hardness of heart. Because wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the good news of Christ's saving death and resurrection is proclaimed, there is the Spirit with all the gifts and power necessary to convert the soul, to comfort the heart of those who mourn. So we need to come to the realization that when we fail to be the kinds of Christians that we know God's word calls us to be, we are reminded here that it is due to no shortage of unbelief and hardness of hearts. Whenever we are confronted with our own weaknesses, with our failings, we are to remember that in ourselves, we are weak in faith. I am a sinful man, St. Peter said to the Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Here, these disciples are so caught up in grief, they are so caught up in disappointment that things didn't go as they had been told from childhood that they would go, but that God had another plan that they just didn't understand. They were so wrapped up in this that they could not be comforted until Jesus himself showed up. And so it is that we must confess that we are of little faith. We must confess that we often respond to the word of God with hardness of hearts rather than receiving it with joy. And so here, Jesus has to upbraid the very men whom he has chosen to take the gospel into all the world. They had an opportunity to do what they expected other people to do as a result of their preaching, and they failed. Jesus here, he upbraids them, but then he gives them the commission. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here is, and Mark's gospel here emphasizes the universalness of the call to preach the gospel in the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, so the good news of salvation in Christ is not only for the 11 disciples who sorely need forgiveness and restoration, but it is for all people everywhere. All are alike sinners. All are alike condemned by their sins to eternal damnation. And all who are alike in the fact that Jesus has come into the world, ransomed them to God, and worked their forgiveness, life, and salvation by his own taking their place under the law and upon the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And the gospel is the message, your debt has been paid in full and you are free. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then this wonderful promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Period. It doesn't add a whole bunch of qualifications to that, does it? It says, Jesus answers the question, how is a person saved? They are saved by believing in Christ and coming to him in holy baptism. Period. Our salvation is a free gift. It is the work of God given to us and given to us not in some super spiritual experience, but in the public outward preaching of the gospel and in the administration of the sacraments. In these simple things, the Lord is powerfully present, bringing people to faith and sustaining and nurturing them in the faith. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, and here is a warning to the hard-hearted and the impenitent, he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus goes on and he describes the signs that will follow the apostles. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, in a brief sentence here, the Lord sums up everything that we read in the book of Acts. You notice that as you read the book of Acts and you read as the apostles begin to go out into the world and preach the gospel, all kinds of signs and wonders are done in the church. And here Jesus is prophesying and declaring that these things shall be. So go into the world, Don't worry about it. Preach the gospel to every creature. And through the preaching of the gospel, through holy baptism, God will save souls. All right? Let God do the saving. You do the preaching and the proclaiming. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So here we have the mention of Christ's ascension and session at the right hand of God. But pay careful attention to the next verse. And it says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So here, first thing that we're taught in this lesson today is that because of our great weakness, we often fail to believe properly and rightly, and we often fail to act in a right way. Here, the disciples are rebuked for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. How much more have we failed, and we need to be restored by the Lord, to be brought to repentance and faith. And then we hear the glorious gospel promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And here we are given opportunity to rejoice in the Lord, because he doesn't give us a long list of do's and don'ts and a whole bunch of threats if we don't comply. He simply invites every sinner to come to Jesus and there to find everlasting salvation. Here we also learn here that the preaching of the church in the world is by divine commission. We exist. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In our modern age, particularly in our neck of the woods, here in the great northeast of the United States, the church seems to be in a state of weakness and decline. But remember this, Jesus is building his church. We are his church. And though we may be despised and held as of no account by the world, we nevertheless are the children of the living God. And when the church speaks in accordance with Holy Scripture, God speaks. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that rejecteth you, rejecteth me. And so here, we finally come to not only the promise of salvation in Christ, but the promise of signs and wonders that confirm the faith. And then this final wonderful thing, the ascension of Christ to the right hand of God does not mean that Jesus is gone. Jesus has withdrawn his visible presence, his tangible presence. But the same Jesus who told us many times that he is returning to his Father, that he is going back to the glory that he had with his Father from ages upon ages, not only does he tell us that, but he also says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He also said to his disciples before his ascension, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And here it says in this wonderful thing, so Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and then back on earth, the disciples go and they start preaching everywhere, and all of a sudden, we hear this, the Lord working with them. and confirming the word with signs following. So, Jesus is not God. He is very much, truly, and really present with us by means of his word and his holy sacraments. Today we are going to kneel at the Lord's table and we are to receive the body and blood of the Lord to comfort us, to confirm us in the faith, to establish us and strengthen us so that we may continue, despite the way things appear according to the flesh, we know who we are in Jesus Christ, and we know what our eternal destiny is. And therefore, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, and yet who is truly and really present with all of his grace and all of his gifts to his holy church. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.